podcasting from Lake Orion, Michigan, where living is a vacation. It's the Rock Your Wellness Podcast, a bi-monthly podcast about how to rock a healthy approach to living that will supercharge your fitness and energy levels without having to turn your life upside down. And now, here's your host, fitness professional, health coach, and nutrition guru, Chuck Jones.
Hey folks, and welcome back to another episode of the Rock Your Wellness Podcast. Five listeners can't be wrong, and I am so happy that you have tuned in to join us for our second official episode of 2018. I know I'm actually a day late, so I am recording from the road today, so I apologize. I know the sound quality is quite what it normally is, but I didn't want to leave you waiting any longer. Because I am super excited today to talk about some alternative wellness therapies that maybe some of you either haven't tried or maybe you haven't even heard of. I've personally tried all six of these traditional and non-traditional therapies, so I'll provide some basic info as well as my own anecdotal experience to help you decide if one or maybe more of these may be something that you would consider trying out yourself. Now, I'm sure most, if not all of you, are familiar with things like saunas and massages, but how many have tried cryotherapy or meditated? No, I mean like actually really meditated. There's no question. I know some of these therapies might sound a little bit wacky, but please make sure you listen to all six, as I'm truly saving the best for last. So, on to our list. First is massage. I figured we'd start with some of the more traditional ideas first here and get a bit more wacky as the list goes on. So who doesn't enjoy a good massage, right? I mean, it feels good. It relaxes you. And hey, if you're giving your significant other a massage, it might even lead to, you know, a little sexy time. But hey, did you know that there are actually a bunch of other reasons to consider adding regular massage into your wellness routine? I mean, first, massage can actually help you fight off being sick. Okay, you actually stimulate production of these things called lymphocytes, which are white blood cells basically that fight off infection. So that's a pretty good reason to do a massage, right? Second, it can help you sleep better. I mean, as little as 2 30-minute massages per week can significantly reduce sleep disturbances. So that, you know, basically you're going to wake up less and you're going to get more quality sleep at night. Third, massage can help you recover from exercise and reduce, you know, post-exercise muscle soreness. That's a pretty good thing. Massage can help you poop. I know that might sound silly, but if you ever have issues with constipation, add massage into your routine. It also helps reduce anxiety and boost mood. And finally, massage can even lower your blood pressure. So some pretty compelling reasons to go get a massage today, right? So look for that Groupon. Everyone gets one, right? And, you know, it's like a ridiculously inexpensive massage. Find it. Go to your local massage place and, you know, go out today. You'll thank yourself. So number two on our list, chiropractic care. So chiropractic medicine is founded on this concept of subluxation, right? Or subluxations. And that's really where it came from. And that is a medical term, right? So it's a term that basically means a partial dislocation instead of, say, like a full or complete dislocation where two bones articulate or, you know, a joint, basically, right? So chiropractors believe that health can be improved and preserved by making adjustments to these structures, and usually specifically adjusting the spinal column. Okay, they don't prescribe drugs. They don't do surgical procedures, although a good chiropractor should refer patients to those types of providers. So back to the subluxations. How do they potentially affect people symptomatically? Well, when something's out of alignment, like say a vertebra has moved just slightly, what that could do is it could put pressure on a nerve or say put pressure on a vessel and affect the actual electrical signal that would normally travel to, say, a muscle or, you know, cause something like pain. That's the basic premise here, right? So you can get pain, or you can get, say, numbness, or maybe even weakness. You can actually even get atrophy of the muscle. And apparently, it's possible to even have atrophy of an organ, which sounds kind of crazy. But it makes sense, I guess, because you need to have blood flow to every body part, right? But in the absence of either having a brain signal or blood going to the tissue, the tissue's not going to function properly, right? And it might atrophy. So how do chiropractors find these subluxations? I think that might be one of the more controversial things. I mean, kind of back in the day, it was 100% just by feeling, or sort of like palpating around. But a good chiropractor is going to look for motion, or say like increased motion or decreased range of motion. They're also going to look at x-rays, MRIs, other types of imaging. So they find the subluxation. How does this all actually work? So I think the answer here is that the way it works, or say maybe if it works well, kind of depends on the doctor that you end up working with, right? And I mean, it seems like everyone's kind of been to the, say, to that chiropractor that just kind of feels around, tells you you're all messed up, pops your neck, and then says, okay, come back Monday, Wednesday, Friday for the rest of your life, right? So in my humble opinion, that's not really a good chiropractor. Now, if you find the type that does some imaging to actually see what's going on with your musculoskeletal system, then does some palpating and makes some adjustments, and then maybe even follows up with some massage to relax the muscles, which that's what's going to then help them from just being so tight that they just jerk the bones back into place, you know, before they got adjusted, right? That's probably someone worth considering seeing again. And then additionally, let's say they recommend, say, some dietary or maybe some lifestyle changes. Maybe they refer you to another type of specialist if it's needed. Again, that's probably someone that's going to do some good. So ask around before you just blindly make an appointment out of the yellow pages. I mean, I've personally experienced what I'll say is bad chiropractic care that kind of more or less left me feeling beat up. But I've also experienced good chiropractic care that I actually feel really helped me overcome just a lot of tweaking and some muscle soreness following a snowboarding accident I had years ago. So something might worth checking out, but do your homework to make sure you get a good provider. So number three on our list, acupuncture. I know, this is crazy, right? But this is a key component of traditional Chinese medicine, which has been around a heck of a lot longer than our Western medicine has. And it's kind of practiced by, just like you're thinking, inserting these extremely thin needles through the skin at strategic, they're called acupoints on your body. And the goal here is kind of to rebalance this flow of energy or life force, you know, known as qi. So first thing I would say is don't really be frightened off by the concept of the needles. They are literally like as thin as about as a strand of hair. So there's quite honestly almost zero pain that you feel with these things going in. But the whole concept is they stimulate these acupoints, which then causes the nervous system to release endorphins and basically pain-killing compounds, the muscles, the spinal cord, the brain. And so ultimately that's going to change sort of the experience of pain and then trigger the release of, say, other chemicals and hormones that are going to influence the body's own sort of internal regulating system. So I actually tried this years back when I just severely tweaked my back during a heavy lift session. I mean, I couldn't walk. I mean, it was a problem. I can't say conclusively how much it helped, as I mean, it's not like I was better after the first session, although you wouldn't really expect so. I went to about 20 sessions over a period of, say, about 7 weeks. That being said, over the course of that time, so that's why I say I can't say if it would have healed on its own, although with the amount of pain that I had, the severeness of the injury, I'm going to say it's likely that it would not have. And my pain definitely diminished with each session. And the other cool thing was, like, overall, I can honestly say I just kind of felt better. Like, I had more energy, a clearer head. Was it placebo? Maybe. But I'd probably definitely try it again if I had another serious injury. So, you know, potentially something worth looking into there. Number four, meditation. So meditation, I don't think anyone really would argue that it's simple and it doesn't require anything, right? And relatively fast way to reduce stress on the mind and the body. And what you're doing is you're just kind of refocusing your attention on the calming thoughts and your breath. And this, you know, might look like this sort of mindfulness meditation. It could be repeating a mantra. It could be guided imagery or like visualization. But basically, by reducing the activity of the sympathetic nervous system, which, if you remember, that's the sort of anxiety-inducing or the fight or flight response we talked about, meditation can literally lower your heart rate, slow your breathing, lower your blood pressure, relax your muscles. I mean, it does a lot. It actually can also change the structure of your cerebral cortex in the brain, which plays a pretty key role in things like memory or attention and, you know, thought and consciousness. Here's the thing. As much as I personally believe in the benefits of meditation, admittedly, I have a super tough time doing it. I've tried, you know, there's a free app for iPhone. It's called Headspace, and it's a guided meditation app. I've tried that. It helped. But, I mean, more often than not, I just find myself getting distracted with sort of day-to-day thoughts. What do I have to do today? You know, I just have a hard time setting aside that time to just be quiet and be still with my thoughts. That said, I have tried a float tank or, you know, like an isolation tank several times now. In fact, there's one in Ann Arbor. If you haven't heard of this before, it's basically a soundproof and lightproof pod that's filled with body temperature salt water. And I mean, not salt water, but it is to the point of saturation. So, I mean, it literally, like, you are completely buoyant. You cannot sink in this thing. So you're perfectly suspended and you pretty much don't hear, see, or feel anything because the water is exactly your body temperature. And you go in this thing for anywhere from 45 minutes to up to an hour and a half. So it's kind of basically forced meditation. To some of you, that probably just sounds like the most awful thing in the world. I'm telling you, you come out of that thing and it just feels like you had plugged your body into the wall or something that whole time. Like, your mind is so sharp, so relaxed, but you're energized at the same time. Like, it's pretty darn cool. Now, I fully admit it's pretty darn weird. I will give you that, but cool nonetheless. So there's coupons actually going around for that one too in Ann Arbor if you ever wanted to give it a shot. It's worth trying. It's sort of a bucket list thing, right? So anyway, but if you can just meditate on your own, you don't need to do a float tank. Good on you. I think tremendous benefit. Number five, cryotherapy. So this is kind of a newer thing now. It's kind of a trendy thing. You see them, you know, popping up in places like Birmingham and whatnot. Basically, the concept here is it's a localized or sort of like even a whole body exposure to literally sub-zero temperature. And the concept is it's going to decrease inflammation. It's going to increase cellular survival, decrease pain and spasms, and sort of just promote overall health by decreasing inflammation. And the way it really works is extreme cold reduces the action of cytokines, which are basically inflammatory markers. So you're reducing soreness, you're decreasing pain. These chambers or these cryotherapy chambers, which were sort of originally, they came about to treat certain medical conditions, skin lesions, even certain kinds of cancers. They're kind of, again, like they're popping up as this like alternative to cold water immersion, which honestly is painful, or even ice packs, which can be painful too, just specifically for physical therapy. So the whole concept is you walk into this chamber, this thing gets down to like minus 166 breathe, which you'd think would be painful, but it's weird. You're only in there for about 3 minutes, and you wear a bathing suit, you wear a pair of gloves, and dry socks. Your head is quickly outside of it. It's really weird. I mean, I've tried this one. It was actually offered to me as a free session. It was pretty legit, and it wasn't, it was cold, but it wasn't, I mean, for being minus 166 degrees, it didn't feel that cold. It was just kind of weird. I don't know how to describe it, but I had a knot in my lower back that literally disappeared after a single session, and I slept like a baby that night, which supposedly this, you know, significant cold like that actually not only reduces inflammation, but it increases growth hormone in response to that cold. So that's probably why it's up that great. But that said, normally it'd be like $60 a visit. So I'm not sure if I'd do it again for that. But, you know, maybe if I had a serious injury, I might consider it. So definitely one of the weirder ones, but kind of cool for trying out. Number six, said I was going to save the best for last. This is it, man. Sauna. I totally admit it. I have become a sauna addict. just kind of knowing that I can give my body this myriad of benefits just, you know, by sitting down for like 15 minutes at a time, it's kind of made it, you know, a must for me. So, I mean, am I a heat masochist? Am I addicted to sweating? Am I an introverted loner who just kind of, you know, loves staring at wooden wall slats as my heart races faster and faster to rapidly pump blood through my body in a desperate attempt to keep me cool? Listen, I will be honest. I never really understood the point of a sauna. It was just kind of like miserable. You step in there for a couple minutes, it's like, this is too hot, I'm out. And honestly, like if I had a choice, I would usually do a steam room. I mean, if I had an option, right? Here's the thing. The sauna is much more effective than the steam room, and here's why. So at the end of the day, it's all about sweating. So there's no question you sweat in the steam room, but it is so darn humid in there that much of what you think is sweat is actually just condensation. So you actually sweat a ton more in a dry sauna, okay? But why is that a good thing? I mean, didn't you just sweat during your workout? So here's the thing. As it turns out, the sweating you do in a sauna is very different. Because when you work out, your body actually shunts blood flow away from your core and your internal organs. And it delivers it to your limbs that are actually moving, right? So they get the lion's share of your blood flow. But when you sit kind of relaxed in a sauna, blood flow is actually increased through your entire body, including your organs. So aside from helping with things like exercise recovery and reducing blood pressure and reducing post-exercise muscle soreness, that increased blood flow to organs and even the brain actually helps nourish them and helps them function more efficiently. And then you sweat out toxins like PCBs and metals and other environmental toxins all through your skin, right? And going back to our talk about meditation, sauna is actually a perfect time to meditate, sort of get a two-for-one effect, right? I mean, it's too hot to bring your phone in there. So it's kind of this like perfect opportunity to practice some deep breathing and just focus on relaxing and get more bang for your buck. You know what? Okay, listen. It totally just occurred to me. I could literally, and I kind of want to, go on for about another 20 minutes about the benefits of sauna here. So here's the thing. Rather than try and squeeze it in here, I am just going to dedicate our next episode entirely to sauna use, okay? So I'll go a little bit deeper, right? And I'll do top 10 scientific reasons why you should incorporate a daily sauna sit into your routine, okay? So I guess that's it for today then, right? I hope you enjoyed learning a bit more about some additional strategies and therapies to help you rock your wellness. And I really hope you'll come back for our next episode to really go down the rabbit hole about why you should absolutely sauna. I mean, if you couldn't tell, I'm a little passionate about this one, so... Thanks again for joining us, folks. If you like what you just heard, I really, really hope you'll take the time to leave a positive review on iTunes. It really does make a difference, and I am so grateful for all the reviews that have already been made. So, until next time, God bless, and keep on rocking.